Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. During this week, I was able to watch a few of the Justice League action cartoons. They're really weird format. They're like 10-minute cartoons, so my DVR doesn't always pick them up. But when it does pick them up, I watch them. It looks like they're grouped with Teen Titans Go, so like it's like a half-hour segment, so like 15 and then 15. With commercials embedded in them. And these were all done in ones. The initial ones that I saw were like an ongoing story, but the first story was a pretty good one. It had Wonder Woman, Booster Gold, and Batman. And it was an episode where Booster Gold was the F up. You know, he's fucking up left and right. Batman's like, you know, why are you even a hero kind of thing. And something happens where like a creature out of time comes and starts messing with time, and Booster like takes Batman to Vanishing Point, and he tells Batman, you know, while I'm not goofing around out there, I'm at Vanishing Point working on all these time anomalies. And Batman's like, maybe there's more to this guy that I didn't, you know, take into consideration. And Booster tells them how they need to defeat this monster, and this monster's like super enhanced. So they go back in time, they fight this monster, and he has to essentially take all the power from these bracelets that control these, I don't know if they're like time bracelets that could actually, he like punch, uses them to punch. He gives a pair to Batman, but he can't have the power like separated. So he has to absorb all the power, but he says, "Batman, if I take the other gauntlets, you're gonna forget everything that you ever knew about me in Vanishing Point." And Batman's like, "That's a damn shame because you're a good hero, Booster." So it's like a one of those stories. And then when he shows back up later, Booster's there, and he kind of just shakes his head because he's considered like the idiot, and he really is not the idiot. So I thought it was a really good issue or episode. The next one was phenomenal because it had Space Cabby in a way that I've never ever seen him. But he got a fare where he had to take Darkseid to this world where he had Superman imprisoned, and Superman had mucked up with their mother boxes so they couldn't form the boom tube. And it turns out that he had put the atom inside of the mother box, and the atom was keeping him from using the boom tube. So you had to hire the taxi to get him to this other planet where Kanto, who's the assassin, and Desaad were both there. And the space cabbie followed Darkseid. Darkseid said, "Don't follow me," but he followed him to give him his receipt because he thought he needed it for taxes and such. And he saw that he had captured Superman, so he had to contact the Justice League. You know, Hawkman and Wonder Woman and Swamp Thing actually appeared. And they had to rescue Superman, but it was a really cool story about a space cabbie. And that guy's been around for a while, but I've never seen him kind of like used like this. I think the first time I've ever seen him, I think, was in a Showcase issue. And it kind of had a bunch of different space guys, like Space Ranger and Space Cabbie, and a really cool cartoon. The next one was interesting. Because it was Gorilla Grodd and his apes attacking the UN, and it was Batman, Superman, and Stargirl that went. And so this was like Stargirl's first mission. So they're like, how are they gonna stop this gorilla invasion? And everything looked promising, and they did stop it. And Stargirl was learning the ropes until Mxyzptlk showed up, and he one of the first things he did was swap the hero's powers. So Superman went into Batman's body, Batman went into Stargirl's body, and Stargirl went into Superman's body, and everything just started to F up. And the thing that I thought was hilarious with this was Superman going into Batman's body, because every time he threw a punch or got hit or anything, it would be like he'd be in excruciating pain. And it was kind of hilarious. And Stargirl in Superman's body didn't really know how to use his powers. So she was like having problems with the not the X-ray vision, but the heat vision, and having other issues. So there was that. But it was pretty hilarious because he was punching gorillas and he was really hurting his hands. And he's like, "How does Batman do this?" But they ended up defeating Gorilla Grodd and Mxyzptlk by calling on Firestorm, Zatanna, and a few other Justice Leagues. And Mxyzptlk did that. He reversed their powers, Cyborg and all the different bodies, and they started to screw up. Except when he did Firestorm, it separated Dr. Steen and Ronnie, and Dr. Steen was able to get Mxyzptlk to say his name backwards because he kind of like went near him, and that's how they got out of it. But that was really cool. I will talk to you in a bit. So I'm back, and I thought I would open this one up with, now that I talked about Justice League Action on Cartoon Network. I really wish my DVR would pick it up because I'm sure I'm missing a whole hell of a lot of them, and they have some really obscure characters that I really like to I really like to see them because it's so well done. But I had a few questions from Twitter, and I'd go over those. So I gotta pause because Harley's barking, but I'll be back. All right, I'm back again, and we'll try to answer some questions. So the first question was from Kyle Pettit, and what he said is, "Are you looking forward to Mr. Miracle by Tom King?" I'm looking forward to Mr. Miracle. I'm not looking forward to Mr. Miracle by Tom King. I don't like his writing. It doesn't work with me. But I'm in, obviously in the minority, but Mr. Miracle and Big Barda are two of my favorites. So I hope it doesn't affect me like Batman, because I don't even like want to read Batman anymore. Matter of fact, I haven't read DC in 3 weeks, and part of it's because of Batman. I just every time I read it, it frustrates me. But I'm reading some DC again. I started off with Cyborg, and maybe I just need to put Batman aside. I hope Mr. Miracle's good, and he's also gonna muck with my Commandy. So I'm a little worried about that. But at least Commandy's a one shot, and the writer can write out of whatever nonsense he puts them in, or this, it's the verbiage, it's just the dialogue. His plots are perfectly fine. So we'll see how that goes. But he is doing an issue of Commandy as well. The Commandy Challenge. The next one is from Joe Crawford. He says, "How do you pick your book of the day and how do you keep track?" I think he means what my cover of the day is. And how do I keep track? Well, I have almost 70,000 comic books in my stash, and I only will put a cover out for a book that I own. So the chances of me repeating it are small, but it could happen, and I don't keep track of whether I repeat it. I don't think I've repeated one to date, but I may have. But that's how I kind of just pick something from my database. I go into my comic base and I look at a bunch of titles and I pick something that I'm in the mood for. So like if I'm in the mood for an Iron Man, I'll pick a cover that I really like, or Spider-Man, or if an independent, if I go to Malibu or Valiant or whatever, Kamiko, and I'll pick a cover that is suiting me for the mood that I'm in for that day. So that's a good question. The Tom Zim asks the question is, what's the best Marvel book and DC book that's being put out right now? And he puts singular, and he says, I guess limited sample of his is Defenders and Detective Comics, and he also says Flash was great. Well, Tom, I don't keep up, if you haven't known that. I used to, but then I realized I'm not getting my maximum entertainment, and it's because I'm a mood reader. I have to be in the mood for it. So I haven't read DC in 3 weeks, almost going on four. So, what is my favorite book over there? It's a tough one. I would have to say the most consistent book is Superman for me. Superman in Action, I always seem to enjoy really, really, a lot. I think my favorite Bat book is Detective. Aquaman is another one of my favorites, and it's always consistently good. Commandy Challenge, absolutely fantastic. So those are some of my DCs. And I used to be caught up, but I haven't been lately. So I'm like three, probably th 2, 3 months behind. I'm at least five ish, like 6 issues, maybe 7 issues behind on Justice League because it ships twice. And they just pile up. But I guess I would go with Superman. Superman being my favorite title right now. And overall, like just consistently the best. On the Marvel side, it's pretty easy. I am so into Iron Man right now, and while I really dig Hulk, which is really She-Hulk, and some of the others like Daredevil, like the one that stands out to me and I'm always blown away by of the in the consistency of it is Infamous Iron Man, which is really a Fantastic Four book, and I think that's what I like love about it. If you loved Hickman's run on Fantastic Four, you have to be reading Infamous Iron Man. It's absolutely fantastic. But that's what I would say for my Marvel top book. Dallo Spicer says, these are good questions. Let's say you haven't read a series for a few months. This is a good question because this is how I read everything. And you have a backlog. Do you reread the last issue you read before the new stuff? And the answer is no, because I remember most of it. And not only do I remember most of it, and usually an issue is pretty good. Like I read 2 pages, and I'm back in. Like I was like, oh yeah, that happened. Or if I am lost, I'll go to my listing, which re where I record every single book that I read, and I'll search for the issue. And if I find the issue, I usually have a summary next to it, and I just type the highlights, so it's just like I'll know what the highlight of where I'm at. But I haven't had to do that for the most part. I may have had to do that with one or two issues in the last 6 months, but mostly I just jump in and I'm able to start running. That's a good question though. And that's what I usually use as my list. I'll go to the last issue and I have like bullet points and I'll read that bullet point and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what happened. With the Marvel book, it's not a big deal. With Valiant, it's not a big deal because they, you could read, if you don't remember, you read that front page and it kind of sets the situation of where you need to be. On DC, it's a little harder because they don't really give you that. They say they give you enough story so you can fit right in, but that's not always true depending on the book. But if you've been reading comics as long as me, it's pretty easy just to jump in, like, and not be lost. Because you know the character, you know the situations, and usually the captions and the dialogue will get you back to where you were. That was a good question. I think that was all the other questions. I got another question from Shane, but it's kind of a spoiler, and I haven't read it yet. But I heard on the Twitters that there's something going on with Batman being a meta-human, and how do I feel about it? I don't know yet. I haven't read it, so I'll wait and see. I'll wait and reserve judgment on when I read those issues. So, having said that, and having wrapped up those questions, I will get to the weekly reads. And lately, it's been horrible because my work schedule's been ridiculous, and I've had a lot of vacations and stuff, so I haven't been reading as much as I'd like. But this particular week, I had a good week. It was November 21st through November 27th. I think that's near Thanksgiving. Maybe that's why it was a good week. But I had a total of 59 comic books, 2 Maximum Press comics, 39 Marvel, 2 Dynamite, 14 DC, 1 Dark Horse, and 1 Chapter House. And I think in those 59 books, I think I really was on vacation that week, and I was reading a lot of Marvel because that Marvel I had 39, which means I probably loaded them on my iPad and I didn't take them physically with me, and I just went through them. It sounds like that's what happened that week. So I had Titans number 5. In order to save the teammates, Kid Flash gets absorbed by the Speed Force. That was a 3 out of 5, so I liked it. It was my lowest one. This 3 out of 5 was Six Pack and Dog Welder, number 4, which is the origin of Dog Welder. And it kind of gave the story of the previous Dog Welder and then moved into the new Dog Welder. And I think it was the issue that I liked the least of the whole series. We had Pathfinder Worldscape number 2. This is just the Pathfinder game. And I think it's a role-playing game. And then they threw in other characters like John Carter and Red Sonja, other Dynamite properties. This one featured a Green Martian in Thunda. And Thunda did have his own series from Dynamite as well. It was like a two-ish. It wasn't a big issue. We have Challengers of the Unknown number 81. This was versus Multi-Man, and they capture June, who's kind of like their fifth member. So that was Challengers of the Unknown number 81. We had Champions number 1 and 2. This is the current series where the new team forms out of Civil War 2, and they had a campfire issue. I actually stopped buying this. It got a little too, I don't know, as into a domain or type of comic that I didn't like. So I stopped getting it. Now, whether it picks up or not, I don't know, because I think I have through number 11 before I stopped. So I could finish it at some point, but I don't know. I might like it and then have to pick up the rest, but those first two didn't rock my world. They were 3 out of 5s, they passed the time. I enjoyed it. It didn't rock my boat. And then I read Star Wars Chewbacca 1 through 5. Definitely I was on vacation this week because I had loaded Chewbacca. And this is Chewbacca helps a girl and her father, kind of throughout that whole series. That's what that was about. We have Blue Beetle number 3. This is Jaime losing control of the armor and seeks help from Ted, and Dr. Fate leaves a warning for Jaime. Batman Beyond number 2. Now we're in the 4 out of 5, starting with Blue Beetle. Batman Beyond number 2, he's undercover with the Jokers, and it gives the backstory of Joker's last fight with Batman and death. When I think I like sort of skimmed over this again when, like, right before a Gotham by Geeks recording, and I really liked it more than I gave it credit for here. Ether number 1. This was the Man of Science in a World of Magic by Kent, who was investigating a murder. Man, I don't remember giving that a 4 out of 5. I thought I gave that a 3 out of 5, but because I didn't really care for it. When Matt Kent goes into the world of magic, I don't dig it so much. But I guess I did. Kiss number 2. The kids are undercover in a dystopian future. They discover the truth of the past and are now hunted by Kiss robots. We have Die Kitty Die. This one's so much fun. This is where she fakes her death because a comic company was out to kill her. We have Battlestar Galactica, Starbuck number 1 and 2. This was Liefeld's company from Maximum Press, which was his second company, I believe. So he had Image, and he formed out of Image Extreme Studios. And from Extreme, when that whole weirdness where he tried to recruit other people within the studios, artists and stuff, it caused a lot of grief and stuff amongst the founding fathers of Image, and he had to leave, and he actually left before they fired him, essentially, and he formed Maximum Press, and he did get the Battlestar Galactica license, and he did Starbuck, and this was a Galactica fights off another human invasion on a prison planet. Sounds familiar, like a real episode. Matter of fact, I watched an episode like that where Starbuck followed a ship, I believe, and it was a guy transporting liquor, and the guy got Starbuck drunk, and they put him on the prison planet for doing the liquor, and he wasn't even the guy that was doing it. But that was an actual episode of Battlestar Galactica. So we got Flash number 11. This is where they had the Shade, and the Shade was written really well. Like if you were into the Starman and you saw this issue of Shade, you might like it. Shade seeks the help from Kid Flash and Flash because Iris and Hope are consumed in the Shadowland. We have Marvel 2-in-1. This is Alicia is a spider monster and stars Invisible Woman and Spider Woman. We have all new X-Men 1 through 15. I barreled through these, and this is the Teenage X-Men and Apocalypse clones, the Apocalypse son, and also a girl who can convert fire to ice and vice versa. So these are the young versions of the team that Bendis created, and it was Beast bringing them back in time, and they still are around. So I guess they view it successful if they're still around, or they want to keep the X-Men young. It's weird not having a Cyclops and then Iceman. There's two, an Angel. There's two, well, an Archangel and another Angel, and then there's two Beasts, except one's furry and one's not. And we have a younger Jean Grey. I don't think the older Jean Grey is even around right now. Batgirl. Number 5, it was the conclusion of the story arc versus the teacher. That was a good finale. We have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 9. They deal with Starro and find out they are trapped by Brainiac, and Kyle Rayner returns. We have Death of X, number 1 through 3. This is X-Men versus Inhuman because of the Terrigen Mists. I really, really, really like this series. Really good Emma Frost, I thought, written, and she was sort of keeping Cyclops alive, even though he was dead. He perished from the virus, where the Terrigen Mist was killing them. But she made it look like Black Bolt had killed him and started a war. And really good manipulation and stressful situations in this war. A lot, and a few people died in this because of it. And I don't want to talk about the wrap up because I get to it a future episode, but I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this. I'd say it's one of my favorite X-Men events, and I think it's because I love the Inhumans so much. But what I liked even more than that is Uncanny X-Men 6 through 14, and this is where Magneto's group deals with the Terrigen Mist, so it's tied into that. And a mutant group that is using mutants out of fear of dying. The Psylocke Quicks, it has Phantom X and Mystique. If I remember correctly, they started targeting not teleporters, but man, I can't remember what it was. Because the teleporters were in that other event, that Hope event, where they targeted the teleporters, and in this one here, they were targeting the healers. That's right, the characters that could heal mutants or heals people. So that was interesting. We had let's see, Hellblazer number 4, where he's captured by a guy that wants all of Constantine's gambling secrets. They get the Dzogchen involved, and he kills a bad guy. Mercury can't find Abby, which is Swamp Thing's. She was asked to help Swamp Thing find Abby Cable, his woman. And they to my knowledge, they still haven't got her. But I'm a little bit behind. We had Vigilante Southland number two. I really enjoyed this, I guess, because it's towards the top of the four out of fives. This is the weird series that the low sales caused them to cancel it, and then they said they'd resolicit it as a trade, but that ain't gonna happen. They lied. If they resolicit it as a trade, it's not gonna sell any more than the original issues were. So I don't think, unless they do some kind of print on demand, I would finish the story if they did that. I hate when they do that, but I would finish the story. We have Harlequin number eight. This is a vacation at a nude beach with Poison Ivy. This is so lighthearted and fun. I like this book. This is a good late night read book. Just the humor and the lightheartedness of it, and it's just written really well. We have Deathstroke number seven. This is where Jericho has a suit. Slade is dealing with his wife, who is trying to kill him. We have Civil War number six. This is the last four out of five. This is Spider-Man deals with the possibility of killing Cap. And this was the Miles Morales Spider-Man that they were dealing with. The five out of fives. There were only two that week. There was Detective Comics 945. This is where the team regroups to try to defend against the Victim Syndicate, and Stephanie totally falls apart. She this is like the issues that lead up to her quitting the team and actually becoming really bitter towards Batman because she lost the love of her life, Tim, and she blames Batman for it. Well, they actually manipulated her, the Victim Syndicate, too. So I was really enjoying Detective at that time. So it goes to show that's probably my favorite ongoing Batman book. All-Star Batman jumps up and down for me. Like, there's sometimes I read it and I'm like, holy crap, this is awesome. And then it dips down into the threes and then dips back up to the fives. It's like a roller coaster ride for me. But I would say Batman Beyond is of all of them is the most consistent as far as my enjoyment goes. But if you go into the mini series, I absolutely loved DK3. Absolutely fantastic. And Batman Dark Days or Dark Metal or whatever it's called, the first one that came out, that was fantastic. But the last five out of five is Young Romance. It's DC 167. I love romance comics. Yeah, it just tells you a lot about it at the time. It's humorous. It's got things in there like, holy crap, how did women get treated like this? You got three stories. One was a twin sister, introvert and extrovert, and that was interesting because she tried to get the boy from the introvert tried to get it from the extrovert because they were twins, and it had like those not Twilight Zone, but yeah, Twilight Zone endings, kind of just really cool. And we had a girl who lies because she's ashamed of, her backstory. We've seen that like in Pretty in Pink and all that stuff. So she has to lie where she's from. And then there was a story where a boyfriend was a joker. Like he messed with the girl so much that he was awful. And I just wanted the girl to dump his ass. And then he said, "You know why I do this? It's because I love you. And I'm intimidated by you. God, give me a break." But it was a really fun issue. And that was it. That was 59 total. It was obviously the week of the Thanksgiving, and my two top five out of fives were Detective Comics 945, which is the not the New 52, but the Rebirth, and Young Romance from I think it was a 12-cent comic number 167. So those are the books for November 21st through November 27th, And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you later. Please leave an iTunes review. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. You can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can find me on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast, where this is posted. Click the like button and follow the threads there. You can go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com and leave comments there. And thank you very much for listening, and see you in a week. Bye.